Okay, let's take a breath and let's do a little short centering. So good to be here with you. I'd like you to ask yourself, what am I here for? What do I want to come out of this? And remind yourself that you don't have to believe the ideas. You don't have to accept the ideas. You don't have to welcome the ideas. Some of the ideas you will find hard to believe. Some of the ideas you will find hard to believe. Some of the ideas you will find quite startling. You are not asked to judge the ideas at all. If you use the ideas, you'll see that the ideas work. You'll see that the ideas are true. You are sustained by the love of God. That you are sustained by the love of God is the answer to every problem that will confront you today, tomorrow, and throughout time. In this world, you believe you are sustained by everything but God. Your faith is placed in the most trivial and insane symbols. Our faith tends to be placed in pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked is going to take care of us, knowing the right people is going to take care of us. We tend to have faith in an endless list of forms of nothingness that we endow with magical powers. Believing that it's the pills and the money and the clothing and the influence and prestige and knowing the right people and being liked are the things that take care of you, that's actually your replacements for the love of God. All these things are cherished to ensure that we'll continue to think we are just bodies and lose sight of our spiritual identity. Putting all your faith in pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, knowing the right people, they're songs of praise to the fearful part of the mind. Don't put your faith in the worthless. The worthless will not sustain you. Only the love of God will protect you in all circumstances. It will lift you out of every trial. It will raise you high above all the perceived dangers of this world into a climate of perfect peace and safety. The love of God will transport you into a state of mind that nothing can threaten, nothing can disturb, and where nothing can intrude upon your eternal calm. Don't put your faith in false ideas. Don't put your faith in illusions that will fail you. Put all of your faith in the love of God within you. That love of God within you is eternal, it's changeless, it's forever unfailing. Putting your faith that your Creator loves you, putting your faith in the fact that love created you and that love loves you and your Creator loves you is the answer to whatever confronts you today. You can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and ensure confidence through the love of God within you. Telling yourself you are sustained by the love of God is your release from the belief in idols. It's your acknowledgement of the truth about yourself. So let this idea sink deep into your consciousness. I am sustained by the love of my Creator. I am sustained by the love of my Creator. That doesn't mean you are sustained by loving God. It doesn't mean that you are sustained by you loving God. I am sustained by the love of God. Lesson 50 in the Course in Miracles is not saying you are sustained because you love God. That lesson is saying you are sustained by the love of God. So let that idea that you can be sustained by the love of that which created you, let that idea sink deep into your consciousness. Repeat it. Think about it. Let related thoughts come to you to help you recognize that it's true. Allow peace to flow over you like a blanket of protection. Don't let any idle and foolish thoughts enter to disturb your mind. That's the kingdom of heaven. That's the kingdom of love. Letting nothing disturb your mind. So the thought is, I am sustained. I am sustained by the love of God. I am sustained by the love of God. You are 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 sustained by the love of the universe. You are sustained by the love of the universe. You are sustained by the love of Spirit. You are sustained by the love of Spirit. You are sustained by the love of God. 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 That's the truth about you. There are some more chairs. You can sit in the living room too. And I'll angle it around a little bit. And you got some chairs right up here in the front. Like I was saying right before I got started, it really was weird. 1:58, there was two people here. So I brought it into the living room so that we'd be closer together. And between 1:58 and 1:05, everybody walked in at the same time, which is great. So I thought everybody was out doing the mama thing today. Now I'll be too much moving. I'm not moving anybody again. Hello.
Hello.
What's up? I'm telling you, boy, everybody's so quiet. God, talk. Thank you, brother. We're gonna be finishing up on I Need Do Nothing. And I Need Do Nothing is on. We're finishing up the part we left off. Well, actually, I think we finished that. Yeah, cool. Yeah, we're going to go to page 28 in the text. This section is called Fear and Conflict. And we're going to talk about how to recognize, how to let it go, and also recognize what causes it. I'm going to read through the section right quick. Whenever you're going into a situation, there's a prayer right before the Fear and Conflict, if you got your book on page 28. And there's a prayer that the Course gives you that we're supposed to say to ourselves whenever we're in a situation that's calling for help. If we're in a situation that there's some kind of fear, if we're in a situation where there's some kind of conflict. And that prayer goes, especially like if you're going to visit your mama later on today and you might have had a few issues. It might not be, for everybody, Mother's Day is not an easy day. I mean, if you don't have an incredible relationship with your mother, it's not something that you're exactly thrilled about. So it may be for some people an opportunity for forgiveness in both ways. Or, like in my situation, if your mother has already made her transition, that gives you another relationship to Mother's Day. Fortunately, I don't believe in death at some level. So I feel like my mother is still alive. She just isn't in the body, because I believe we're more than bodies, and that our bodies are just the way that we communicate and reach each other on this plane. But we're really spiritual beings having a human experience. We're really more than what we appear to be. And pain comes from forgetting that you're an unlimited spiritual being that creates through your consciousness, through your thoughts, through your feelings, through your emotions. The average person is not aware that their thought is creative, and that they're drawing things to them through the law of attraction. And that if you really want to change your life, you change your vibration. You change your vibration by changing your thoughts and your feelings and your emotions. And then your physical reality will automatically begin to conform to that new level of consciousness. Because we are creators. We were created as creators. We weren't created to do. We're busy doing, but that's not really what we were created to do. We were created to create. We were created to love. And so the Quran says we're out of touch with that. We've lost sight of that for two reasons. One, because of the false learnings that we have learned from the world that teaches us that we're just victims out here trying to make it as best we can. And fear. The Course in Miracles says fear, or the belief in separation, that fear blocks the love, and the love is really what creates joy. So wherever we have fear, conflict, anger, grievances, and sickness, that's a block to love. That's a block to that energy coming through that will create the kind of life that we want to have. So I always trust that when people come to the Course in Miracles, they're not coming to the Course in Miracles whether they know it or not, because they're here to hear traditional views. You know, we're here because we want to hear something different. The challenge with hearing something different is it's something different. And then you find out that you're very attached to a lot of your ideas. And then it brings up resistance when you hear something opposite to what you believe. So really, resistance is a good way of getting in touch with the fact that you may be hearing something new and different. The fact that you are going, I don't know if I believe that. I don't necessarily welcome that. Well, that's letting you know you're hearing something new. And that's what we said we wanted to do. We said we wanted to hear something new. So I'm going to read through a part of this. This is about fear. This is about how do you deal with fear and conflict in any area, and how do you go beyond it. It says, being afraid seems to be involuntary. It looks like being afraid is something beyond your own control. The Course says, it looks like we can't help it but to be afraid and in conflict sometimes. But it then goes on to say, really, the only thing that should be involuntary is constructive acts. In other words, I shouldn't be able to help being helpful. It's like I can't even help myself in terms of being loving. It's like it's involuntary. It's like I can't even stop myself from being loving. So the Course says it's just the opposite from the way we think it is. We think sometimes you're afraid involuntarily, or you're upset involuntarily. It just happens to you. And he says, well, actually, only constructive acts should be involuntary. It shouldn't be an effort on our part to be loving, helpful, kind, and conscious. Notice everybody's making the effort to be loving, kind, and conscious, but getting upset, losing their temper, and being afraid seems like that just happens without you putting forth any effort at all. It just seems like it's effortless to be upset, but it takes effort to forgive. So we have it exactly switched around. Okay, then it goes on to say, and when it says my control, it's talking about spirit, it's talking about God, it's talking about love, it's talking about our inner self, our real self, our spiritual self. And the Course's premise is that each one of us has an inner teacher, an inner guide, each one of us has a higher self, each one of us has a spiritual identity, and if you want to go even deeper, each one of us has the Christ within, each one of us has guidance. And so that my control is just really representative of your higher self talking to you. And it's saying, your higher self says, my control can take over everything that doesn't matter. My guidance can direct everything that does if you choose. So I have to make a stand today that if I choose, my higher self can take control of everything in my life that doesn't matter, and can guide me in everything that does matter if I so choose. Then it says, fear cannot be controlled by me, but fear can be self-controlled. So fear is what prevents me from giving you my control. Our fear of listening to the truth and listening to our higher self, the Course says, that is what prevents our higher self from controlling our experience, is our fear, which is a form of lack of awareness. So it goes on to say, the presence of fear shows that you raise body thoughts to the level of the mind. This removes them from my control and makes you feel personally responsible for them. This is an obvious confusion of levels, which is just a quick way of saying we believe that the world affects us instead of believing that it's our thoughts that create our reality. We believe that it's our reality is just out here objective of us, and then we've got to try to deal with it. We've got it exactly reversed. So it says, you must correct, he says, I do not foster level confusion, but you must choose to correct it. You wouldn't excuse insane behavior on your part by saying you couldn't help it. You know, if I come up to you and I smack you upside the head and I said I couldn't help it, you probably wouldn't excuse it. Is that right? And so the court says, well, why is it that we condone insane thinking? It's like, I can think insanely, but I don't do anything about that. But if I act insanely, I have a hard time excusing that. So the court says we don't actually check out our thoughts the way that we check out our behavior. So then, notice now, the point of this section, I'm going to go back. The point of this section is it's going to define what causes fear and conflict and how you release it. That's what we're hearing. I don't know about you, but there are some areas in my life in which I experience fear and conflict sometimes. So it's kind of like, yeah, thanks for letting me know. Okay, so the first thing I need to get clear is that being afraid, being upset seems to be beyond my control, but really being loving should be what should be beyond my control. I do have a God self, a spirit self, a higher self, whatever words you want to use for something greater than you. But the reason why it doesn't take over in my life is because of the fear that I have, the beliefs that I have, the blocks that I have within my consciousness, because I believe that it's my situation that determines how I feel, instead of realizing it's me determining how I feel and it's me determining my situations. So I need to stop excusing my and condoning my insane thinking. I should stop being okay about this insane way of thinking that produces my fear or that produces my conflict. And so the Course says there's a confusion here that you would do well to look at clearly. So we're going to look at the confusion real clearly. The confusion is you may believe you're responsible for what you do, but not for what you think. Most people think they're responsible for what they do, but they're not responsible for what they think. And the Course says the truth is that you are responsible for what you think, because it's only at this level of what you think that you can exercise choice. In other words, what you do comes from what you think. So therefore, you cannot separate yourself from the truth by giving autonomy to behavior. So what I do comes from what I think, and I can never say my behavior is just happening this way, but I have nothing to do with it. My body made me do it. I have no control over what I'm feeling right now. My body is making me feel this right now. So the Course is then telling us that whenever you are afraid, it's a sure sign that you've allowed your mind to miscreate, which means you haven't allowed spirit to guide your mind. So whenever a person is afraid, you have not allowed your real self to guide your thinking. Because if your real self was guiding your thinking, you would not be afraid. So when you are afraid and you think you're hearing your guidance, you're not. That's rule number one. So I need to remember, first rule is, if I'm listening to love, I wouldn't be feeling fear. If I was listening to the truth, I wouldn't be feeling fear. If I knew what was going on, I wouldn't be in conflict. So whenever I'm afraid, I'm not listening to my higher self, my real self, spirit. Any questions, any comments about that? Anything that's been said so far? I'm going to get just as quiet as you all. I'm going to match everybody's image. Let's all just be laid back today. It's pointless to believe that controlling the outcome of misthought can result in healing. When you are fearful, you have chosen wrongly. That's why you feel responsible for it. You must change your mind, not your behavior. This is a matter of willingness. Most people are trying to change their behavior. The Course says we must change our mind, not our behavior. And whether or not you change your mind is a matter of willingness. You do not need guidance except at the mind level. Correction belongs only at the level where change is possible. Change does not mean anything at the symptom level. If I have a perception of relationships, that the relationships that I'm in are there in order to just take care of my script, my fantasies, my wishes, and I look for someone else to make me happy, and I look for someone else to do everything that I think needs to be done in order for me to be happy, and then I put a guilt trip on them if they don't do it and make them feel so bad that they'll try to do it, and then right behind them tell them how much I love them. That's a script of fear. So if you don't do it, and I get mad at you, and then I get rid of you, and then I go to someone else to get them to do it, what I'm doing is trying to make a change at the behavior level, at the symptom level, but I have not gotten in touch with the real cause of the problem. And the real cause of the problem is my thinking, the way I'm looking at it. So the first step to getting rid of fear is, number one, to recognize that it's in my mind. Number two, I'm not going to really change anything by constantly trying to change it at the symptom and the effect and the behavior level and manipulate everybody and everything around me. That if I change my consciousness, that change of mind will create a different level of consciousness, which will therefore draw to me and create a different situation. So when we come to a class like this, what we're working on actually is mind training. We wanted to get the new ideas that will bring about the change of mind. So the first thing to remember is that the correction of fear is your responsibility. That when you ask for release from fear, you're implying that releasing the fear from my own mind is not my responsibility. So I'm asking Spirit to release me from my fear. And the Course in Miracles is saying that's why people stay afraid, because really the correction of fear is really your responsibility. And every time you ask for release from the fear, release from the conflict, you're implying that it's not my responsibility, which means that what I'm feeling is coming from what I'm thinking, and what I'm thinking is coming from my choice. What I'm feeling is coming from my thinking, and what I'm thinking is coming from my choice. So therefore, if I'm feeling fear, if I'm feeling anger, I'm feeling conflict, it's coming from my thinking. And the way to get rid of that would be for me to change my thinking. So therefore, the correction of the fear is really my responsibility. Because first there's the thing, then there's my interpretation of the thing, and then there's my feelings based on that interpretation of the thing. So really what I'm feeling isn't coming from the thing, it's coming from my interpretation of the thing. So the Course in Miracles is telling us that the truth is you shouldn't ask for release from the fear, you should ask for help in the conditions that brought the fear about. I need to ask for help in the condition that's bringing the fear about. If you walk into this room and there was a mountain lion in this room, you probably feel afraid. Somebody removes the mountain lion, which is the condition that's causing your fear, you'll let go of your fear as soon as the danger is past. So instead of asking for the release from the fear itself, which I'm carrying in my life, what I need to ask Spirit for is help in the condition that is causing my fear. I should pray for help in the condition that's causing my fear. That's opposite to the way the average person does it. The average person says, oh, please free me from my guilt, free me from my fear. They don't say, free me from the condition that's causing my guilt, free me from the condition that's causing my fear, free me from the situation that's causing my fear. And now we know what the condition is that's causing our fear. The condition that's causing our fear ultimately is our willingness, he says, to be separate. At the willingness to separate myself from what's happening to me, that's what's keeping the fear going. I have a willingness to be separate. The Course in Miracles says all fear comes from separation. Separation is fear. The fact that we don't know each other creates fear between us. If we knew each other and loved each other, there wouldn't be any fear between us. So separation is ultimately the root of fear, and not knowing your oneness with that which is around you. So if I really want to be helped in the condition that's causing me fear, I need to realize that I'm too tolerant of mind wandering. The Course in Miracles says we're much too tolerant of mind wandering. We passively condone our mind's miscreations. Oh yeah, I know I should think more positive and more loving, and I know I should practice the truth more in my life, but I get around to it. you know, I got plenty of time to change it. I'm passively condoning my miscreations. I'm passively condoning my fear. I'm passively condoning my thought. Yeah, it's not exactly what I want it to be in my life, but maybe one day it'll get to the point that I want it to be. I'm passively condoning my miscreations. I just heard you say that if my thoughts changed, my reality would change, and then I would have the joy and the peace that I want to have. Now, in order for that to happen, I really would have to start making new choices in what I think. You know what? I don't feel like it. I don't feel like putting forth the effort that it would take for me to change my mind. I'm passively condoning my miscreations. Some people hear what I say, and for whatever reason, it'll strike a chord. And they go, oh, wait a minute, let me get this straight. Now, I've been wrestling with this problem all my life, and I'm going through a lot of sadness and a lot of upset in some areas of my life. The truth is, it's not the outer circumstance that's causing it. It's coming from my thoughts, beliefs, emotions, and my consciousness. I'm an unlimited spiritual being, so therefore, if I can give myself a different set of thoughts, I could transform every single area of my life. So what I need to do is spend as much time as I can focusing on the thoughts, feelings, emotions, and ideas that I'd like to see manifest. Now, that may mean I need to separate myself temporarily from some people in my life that perpetuate the old way of thinking that I no longer want to think. I'm going to have to set aside certain times a day that I focus on the new thoughts that I want to think. And I'm going to have to learn how to forgive myself, because as I begin to wake up, I'll recognize more and more of my own errors of thinking. And if I'm into beating myself up every time I recognize something that I'm doing wrong, then I'm going to make the journey really, really long and tiresome. So I need to get to that point that I can look at my errors, not condemn myself for them, choose a new thought that I need to think, believe in that thought, support that thought, then watch that thought transform my world. Especially from listening to my guidance. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to start, when someone asks me to do something, when something new comes up, if there's any way I can possibly do it, I'm going to say, wait a minute, let me have a few minutes to myself, go within and ask myself, how do I really feel about this? What do I really want to come of this? What is the purpose of this? I need to get clear about my purpose from the very beginning. See, what I just ran down was the way you transform any situation. Now, a person who has not suffered enough or doesn't feel like they deserve to be happy, then what happens when they hear an answer that would get them out of a situation that's causing them pain is they go unconscious and they don't hear it right now. Because right now they're not ready to let that painful situation go. Because there's some payoff in that painful situation that they're not ready to let go of yet. Then there are other people that go, you know, I've had enough. I've reached my limit. And because they've reached their limit, they're on the edge of their seat or wherever they're studying, wanting to hear the new way so that they can apply the new way as fast as possible so that they can transform the situation. That's where I'm at right now. It's like I'm ready to do it differently and not come up with another one of my plans again. And you know what my plan always is? My plan is always to come up with what the thing is outside of myself that needs to change in order for me to be happy. That, anybody familiar with that plan? Where you sit back and in your mind you think about all the things you'd like to externally change in order for you to finally be happy. That's the old plan. The new plan is to stop and ask your higher self, the love within you, God within you, Spirit, where should I go? What should I say? To whom should I say it to? What is my purpose? In other words, I'm willing now for something that is within me, that is greater than me, to start to guide me in the direction of my experience. Now I'm ready for a change, because that's different. The problem with making up plans that involve other people changing is that as soon as you do that, you set up a grievance. I mean, as soon as that comes out of your mind, you got a grievance set up. Because if they don't do what it is you think that you want them to do, then there is an anger and a resentment that usually come up that you have to forgive. So actually, I made up my own grievance. I wouldn't have a grievance against anybody in here if I didn't have a script for anybody in here. There would be nothing for me to get mad at you about, because there's nothing I want you to do to make me happy that you don't do for me to have to forgive you for. But people think if I don't get you to do it, it's not going to be done. But the truth is, it's just the opposite. The once you open your mind up to the idea that there is a love in you that loves you more than you love yourself, and it's still loving you even when you don't love yourself, then you can let the results of that love go out into your world, as the Course calls it, love's messengers. Go out into your experience, connect with all the loving people, situations, circumstances, and perceptions in your experience, and it says bring them back to you. Sounds like an easier way for me to do it. I think I'm going to try that one. I'm thinking, now what do I need to do? Well, all I need to do is to recognize that I need to work on no longer passively condoning my mind's miscreations. That I need to just spend my time focusing on the most loving, true thoughts I can possibly apply to myself and apply to you. Because the stronger the thought becomes, the quicker it manifests. So if you want an idea to manifest really quickly, you share it. Because it's through sharing an idea that an idea grows stronger. Here's a quick example. If I share with you the idea of going to a movie after the class, and everybody in the class went, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Notice that the idea just went from me having the idea to the whole group having the idea. So the idea just became, what, 30 times stronger. So what do people tend to share the most? What they love, what they appreciate, what turns them on, what they feel good about? Or do people mostly share what they're upset about, what they don't want, their fears and their dislikes? What do they tend to share the most? We know. And so what seems to be the prevalent thing that we see in our world? Fear. Because that's what everybody shares. Now, but if I walked in and I said, you know, if everybody in the room looked at the person next to them and said, I only want love for you and I only want peace for you and you deserve love and you deserve peace, people would feel self-conscious. Some people would never come back. Because it's very challenging for people who come to a class on love, wanting, and joining to actually talk to somebody else in the class. Which is kind of funny when you think about it. You know, I'm coming to join, but don't say nothing to me. And I'm afraid to say anything to you. So any idea that I want to have strong in my experience, then what must I do? I'm going to share that idea. So what I do is I walk around and I ask people in my life, what is it you want and how can I support you in that? What do you want? How can I support you in what you want? I didn't say, this is what I want from you, this is what I want you to do. I said, what do you want? That freaks people out, because the average person is much more focused on what they don't want than what they want. People that always tell you what they don't like. They can tell you, but you just go, bam, what do you want? They go, just watch them. It'll trip them out. Okay, well then, if you don't know what you want, then you're setting up a situation where things just seem to happen to you beyond your control unexpectedly. So if you're a person that it looks like something is always catching you unawares, then you are a person who you don't know what you want. You know what you don't want. So saying I don't want to be broke is not the same as saying I want to be rich. Saying that I don't want to be alone is not the same as saying I want a relationship. Saying I don't want to feel guilty is not the same as saying I want to know my innocence. Here's a tip. Every bit of pain that you experience in your life comes from a level of unconscious guilt in the mind. Every bit of pain or sorrow that anyone goes through comes from unconscious guilt in their mind. So the most important idea that you can plant in your consciousness, that's more important than 1,000 affirmations on your abundance, that's more powerful than 1,000 affirmations on your wealth or relationship, the most important thought that you can support is the idea of your sinlessness and your innocence. Your innocence is your protection, because you already have learned that the innocent mind doesn't deserve to suffer. Nothing upsets us more than think of an innocent person dying in an electric chair. Even at this level of consciousness that we're on, people think someone is innocent shouldn't be punished. So what do you think we're collectively asking for if we believe we're guilty and sinful? Punishment. I turned on this morning just for a few minutes. I saw a radio television show. And it was packed. I mean, it must have been 15,000 people that minister was talking to. And it's interesting how the more you preach guilt, the bigger the audience. The more you teach innocence, the smaller the group. It's not nearly as popular to teach people innocence as it is to teach them that they're guilty and sinful. Even people who think they want to hear their innocence. I would say in the last 7 years that I've been teaching here, what, several thousand people have come through? And I was teaching only you're innocent, you deserve to be happy, you're powerful, you can change your reality, and you deserve total love. Yeah, average person sticks around a month, two, maybe three at the most. But if I was teaching that you were guilty and you were sinful, I would probably have an overflow congregation in 7 years. You know why? Because when you tell a person that they're worthless and that they're guilty and that they're sinful and they already believe that about themselves, because they already believe that there's something lacking in them and that life is a struggle and that things are hard, you're telling them what they already believe. And people tend to come back to hear what they already believe about themselves. So if I say you're guilty and you believe that you're not a really loving person, at some subconscious level, you feel like, yeah, you're right. You're telling me the truth. I am a worthless. So I'm going to come back. But if you think you're worthless or you're not enough or you're not powerful, and you walk in the room and someone tells you you're an unlimited being beyond the body that's totally innocent, that deserves to be happy all the time, and you haven't sinned and you just made errors and errors are for correction, then at a subconscious level, if they've grown up in this society, they feel like you are a devil in an angel's cloak. There must be something suspicious about you. They feel uneasy. Because I feel at a subconscious level that if I feel guilty, I'm a good person. If I don't feel guilty, I'm a psychopath. So we associate guilt with somehow or another making you a good person, but seeing yourself as flawless, perfect, and innocent is somehow or another a lie. So I'm here to tell you what you may feel at some level is the biggest lie that you've ever heard. And that lie is, you're loving, you're lovable, you're innocent, you deserve to be happy, you were not born in sin, there is not a creator that hates you, and that's beating you, and that's out to get you, you're not alone, you just forgotten, you just sleep. The Course calls it, we're in the sleep of forgetfulness. You know, we've completely forgotten who we really are. And I'm here to remind you, and therefore remind myself, you know, that you are innocent. You haven't hurt anybody. You just called for love. You made some mistakes. Mistakes are for correction. The universe is not out to get you. You're not going to be punished. You're going to be healed. You know, that's a good call. That's a good call. One day it'll be up to the level of a Broncos game, and I'll just be so proud as a teacher. You know, we'll get as excited about our innocence as we do about a sports. We'll do the wave, and we'll be so glad to hear. Yeah, as I'm saying, you know, it's a trip. It's a trip. It's a trip how hard it is. But notice the reaction. Notice the reaction. Notice the reaction to hearing about how loving you are. Notice the reaction in being told how innocent you are. Notice the reaction in being told how creative you are. Just notice it. You know, and you know what? The fact that that's true doesn't have anything to do with your reaction. It doesn't have anything to do with whether you believe me or not. That's what I love about it. I don't care whether you believe me or not. It's just important that I see you that way. And I remember that about you. Because every time I remember that about you, there's a law of mind that says whatever comes through you has an effect on you. And I can't see anything in you that won't be reinforced in me. So every single time I see you as the innocent, loving, powerful beings that you are, whether or not you believe that, it increases that consciousness and that awareness within me. You know what happens when that happens? Something that was bad, quote unquote, it's not going to happen to me. Some fearful relationship will never come into my life. Some situation of lack will never happen because I increased my consciousness of love. And every time I see you the way I want to see myself, I increase my consciousness of love. And the more I increase my consciousness of love, the more love I draw into my life. So when I'm with you, it gives me another opportunity to create more love and more safety and more peace and more joy in my life. And that's the opportunity that all these people in this room are giving each and every one of you. Another opportunity to increase love and peace and joy and fun and consciousness in my life. Now, the cool part about it is that the form it takes in my life is going to be the form that's best for me. So that love that I become conscious of, it's going to take the form of what I need, and it's going to take the form of what's best for me. So the way it comes to me might be different from the way that it comes to you, but you want it the way you need it, and that's the way the love comes back. It comes back the way you need it. So I'm so grateful. Every time we're together, I'm always grateful because I understand that what I have is another opportunity to free myself. So thank you for giving me that opportunity. Yeah.
I have a question and a comment. First, my question. You spoke about the importance of God. What happens if you're an atheist and don't believe in God?
It just means that you've just forgotten what's the truth. You know what an atheist is according to the Course? An atheist is anybody who thinks they're alone. Because the whole idea of being alone is a denial of your connection with the Source. So you don't, to be an atheist, you don't have to say, I don't believe in God. To be an atheist, you just have to believe you're on your own by yourself trying to do it. You know. So the person that doesn't know that they have their connection with love, lives a life where they don't feel like they're connected to God. So whatever that life would be like, that's what they would experience. Which would simply be actually a life and feeling like you're alone on your own, trying to deal with forces that are bigger than you, that are beyond your control. In other words, you become an average person. Because the average person is an atheist. The average person just says they believe in God. But give them any test that requires faith or acting like they really do believe in a power greater than themselves, and watch how quick they fall back on power, money, fame, physical pleasure, pills, influence, being like, knowing the right people, all that stuff I said at the very beginning. That's actually what the average person believes in. It's more like God is a concept that we've heard a lot about and been taught, and if you, especially if you're American, if you just almost feel like you're obligated to say, yes, I believe in God. It's almost like a habit. Yes, I believe in the door. Yes, I believe in God. Yes, I believe there are cars. Yes, I believe in God. What the Course in Miracles does is it gets you completely out of denial about where you are and your level of consciousness relative to your spiritual identity. Because the main principle of the Course is that every single problem that a person has is directly related to the idea that they think that they created themselves and that they're separate from their Source. There is no problem that is not feeling like you're separate from Source. That is the root of every single problem. So the person who doesn't believe in God just experiences a reality where they feel like they're on their own, and that they're temporary, and that when they're over, it's done. Whatever way form that takes. Yeah.
It seems to me that you can not believe in God, but believe in love as a force. And it seems in my life, some of the things that you said, I can really relate to, but I use different words, like terms of thinking positively rather than thinking negatively.
Mm-hmm.
So that I feel that I expose myself to more positive actions.
Right.
And also, and the other word is acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Acceptance of myself, a human being, my frailties, and my mistakes, and the same accepting other people, that they're okay the way they are, because that's the way they are. They can't always help what they want to be. And the other is trusting in human beings, and that I call, which you call love, is trust that people will be kind, people will be good, and know their goodness. But the only thing I differ with you is on the concept of God.
And that's okay. That's why I say you don't have to believe it, you don't have to accept it, you don't have to welcome it. Some of it you might resist it. I would not be sitting in front of this room if I expected or thought or needed everybody in this room to agree with me. So it's like, to me, it's like accepted that everybody's not going to agree with what I say. But what the error was, that would have been a time I would have tried to convince you. And that's what I've learned through the Course in Miracles, is the error. It's like, that's why I always tell people when they come to the room, be on the lookout for the thoughts that resonate with you. And then what doesn't resonate with you as you see yourself being, then just let that go. Don't worry about it. You know, because we won't all agree. And one of the things that I love now is that it's okay. You know, that to me, that's like, ooh, wow. I've gotten to the point in my spiritual growth that I don't care. Everybody doesn't have to think like I do, agree with me, do it my way. As a matter of fact, I find it's easier to act on the revelations that my relationship with God is teaching me if I don't tell people about the revelation that is about to change my life, because I don't want to hear what they think about it. Because people have a tendency, when they hear something different from what they believe, to correct it, fix it, or try to give you another way to look at it, even if you didn't ask for it. Because the Court says people identify with their beliefs. So therefore, when you don't agree with something that someone says, they actually, at an emotional level, feel it somewhat as an attack. And that's why people defend their ideas. But if the idea is working for you, use it. Don't put anything that I say before the feelings of your own being. What we want to do when we come in here is to recognize one thing. There's only one point that's being made so far in this lesson. That you are responsible for the fear that you feel. That in changing your thought, you will change the experience. Also, to stop being tolerant of thoughts, feelings, and emotions that you know are not bringing you the thing that you know that you want. When you are afraid, ask for help in the conditions that have brought the fear about. If you notice, what I'm giving is like answers and guidance and suggestions. It has nothing to do with trying to change your mind about anything. That, because then it would be a class that's trying to convert you. And I'm not. I'm not trying to convert anybody. I'm just saying, this is A Course in Miracles. Let me show you what, share with you what the Course in Miracles is saying. You can accept it, you can reject it, that's okay. Because what happens when you get into the analyzation of it is that it delays the actual application of it. That's the whole purpose of the analyzation of it, is to keep from using it and to not hear what's being suggested. So that's why I don't do a lot of analyzation in my class. Because I know that it says itself, it's a trick to destroy the meaning of what you've heard. Because all of us have different perceptions. So if it becomes my perception versus your perception, then we've actually gone in the opposite direction from where we are trying to go. But if it really, if it becomes you are free to accept and reject, then we're able to move forward. Then we're able to let some new stuff in. So my thing with the Course is, how many new ideas can I let into me, and how many new ways of looking at it can I give myself? And then which one of them will appeal to me to the point that I'll be ready to use it? Because I'm listening for the idea that I'll be ready to use. So when I'm talking, as much as you can, try to focus on the things that I share with you that are supportive and loving, rather than the thing that you don't agree with. It's like, okay, I don't agree with that, I'll move on. It's not, I agree. I don't agree. Let's focus on what I don't agree. And then we'll battle about what I don't agree about. And then we'll get back on hearing the new stuff again. It's like a flip. It's like, okay, I don't have to believe, okay, he said that. I don't agree with his idea, what he said about God. Okay, great. But I did agree with, yeah, you need to be more loving and, you know, you look for the pop. See, she named many more things that she related to what I was saying than things that she differed with. The ego way would be now for us to dive into one thing that we saw different and then make that the focus for the rest of the hour. That's how arguments last forever. Two people would end an argument the same day it started if they would go, let's focus on what we can join on. Because in joining, that joining will create an answer that will allow us to deal with the stuff that we're not in agreement about. It's a trick. That's what I love about this book. It's like it gets you in touch with the tricks that your mind play to keep you in conflict and turmoil. So, God, it's 5 minutes to two. Wow. That's deep. What was your question?
I was just going to say, I don't think that there is a disagreement. I think it's just a matter of semantics. I mean, you don't have to believe in God for me, it's the universe. I mean, whatever you call it, you know, I think that you don't have to attach yourself to this. I mean, I grew up Catholic, so there's this idea of what God is, you know, but, and I know that the Course talks about God and Jesus, but it's how you interpret it. We're not disagreeing.
Well, it wouldn't matter if we were. I don't feel like we're disagreeing, but what I'm saying is that it's okay if we were. See, I want to make that just as cool too. It's perfectly okay if we are not in agreement about them. If we just flat don't see it the same way. Because what I've noticed is that when I love somebody, then regardless of what appears to be the differences between us, I still have this very powerful loving relationship with them. When people love you, then you go beyond what it seems to be the perceptual differences. But if it's not the heart involved, then every perceptual difference becomes a potential means for a reason for separation. Because your heart isn't involved. So I'm trying to keep I would love for my classes not to be a head trip. I'm one of these people that grew up Southern Baptist. I'm used to feeling and emotion and spirit and life and joy around God. I'm used to that being the heart thing. It's like what I loved when I went to church as a young child, even though I disagreed with what I was hearing, even as a young child, it didn't ring right to my soul. I loved the devotion. Being in a room full of people that were devoted to something greater than themselves and their own egos was such a fulfilling, healing experience that it opened my heart, and in opening my heart, it opened my spiritual awareness. Because everything we were trying to do through our minds, our hearts could do it 10 times easier. Whatever I'm trying to create through my mind, my heart could create it for me 1,000 times easier. But what is protected the most is our hearts. And so therefore we're afraid of being hurt. So we live in our heads, and then we're going to figure it all out. And the truth is, if we opened our hearts, there would be nothing to figure out. We would see a whole new world unfold before us, starting today as we walked out of this door. Because love is the only thing that's real, and love is the only reason that we're here. It's union, it's unity, and oneness. It's so funny. We may be thinking it's about the concepts that we've heard today, but the real healing is going to come just because you decided to join with your brothers and sisters today. That's what's going to clear up that illness. That's what's going to help with that financial relationship, career, whatever it is you think you're going through. It's not an intellectual process. It's a unity process. It's a joining process. And I love the realization, like she was just saying also, it's in most cases just semantics. It's just words. You know, words getting in the way of us joining. Because I say it one way, you say God, I say universe, but we all know what we're talking about. We're talking about that one love that created us all. That's why the Course calls it, breaks everything down to love and fear. You just say, I love it. It says you don't have the two emotions, love and fear. Love goes by a lot of names, fear goes by a lot of names, but we're just talking about love or fear. And the name of the Course game is, let me get rid of the blocks to my awareness of the love. Because once I get rid of the blocks, then I can follow my inner guidance and I can hear my inner guidance. Because if I'm doing this correctly in my heart, then when you walk out of here, you'll be going more within yourselves for the answer and trusting that God is within you. You won't be looking outside of yourself more. So if a person is just motivated to go, I might just look at it another way. I just might believe that maybe I do deserve to really have harmonious, love, and abundant life. Maybe abundance really is my natural state. Maybe I'm not really guilty, so therefore I don't have to keep attracting situations and circumstances that hurt and punish me. Maybe it is time for me to have the kind of life that I've been told. If somebody walks out of here today and that's what they want to do, then as far as I'm concerned, hey, I've done what I was put on earth to do. Which is to remind you that you're right.
You did it, girl.
You know? Yeah. Some people I do it for, some people they go, what the hell? I'll never go back there again as long as I live. You know what I'm saying? But you know what I love about me? It's okay. It's right up there with, if the person don't believe me, that's okay. If the person doesn't see me as being helpful to them, that's okay. Because every time I make it okay, you know, everything becomes more okay. And the people who I'm not okay with, they just simply don't come around. That's not a loss. You know, the person that leaves and says, oh, I hate that, I hated him, and I don't want to come there anymore. How could that possibly be a loss for me for them not to come back? You know what I mean? So that's what you do. You come out of your real self. You come out of your authentic self. You love the people around you enough to give them an opportunity to make an informed decision about whether or not they want to be joined with you. And how do you do that? By being as completely yourself as you can possibly be. Then you'll be surrounded by people who constantly benefit through who you are, the way you are. They're loving you because they're saying you're so helpful to them. You're going, I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm just being myself. That's what you say. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just being myself. Yeah. By you being yourself, you created a vibration of self, and you drew those to you who can learn best from you the way you are. Now, if I don't love myself, I'm going to hide myself. If I don't have faith in who I am, then I'm going to present a false picture to everybody around me. You know what? I'm going to show you what I think you want to see. And that's what I have to do every time I teach my class. I have to go, Earl, that doggone it, no matter how big of a temptation you might have to sit down here and try to be what you think people want to hear, don't you dare be that authentic with inauthentic. You sit here and you be Earl. Don't try to be anybody's spiritual teacher in the sense of what they think a spiritual teacher is. Your job is to be yourself so that you can have yourself. You know, it's like, and you know what? That's what's happening in my life. Every day, more and more. The pain and the fear and the people who don't get me and don't love me are just moving out. And the people who do are coming in. Now, I had to watch that old pattern of wanting to grab hold of somebody who wanted to leave. I had to go, oh Lord, I need your approval. I'm not loved unless you tell me I am. I'm not important unless you say. It's like today when we go, you go and you spend time with your mother or whatever. All you have to do is walk in the door and as much as you can say, I'm going to give what I want to receive. I'm going to give what I want to receive. I'm going to give what I want to receive. What are you going to do today with your mother? I'm going to give what I want to receive. Oh. How are you going to treat your mother today? You're going to treat her the way you want to be treated. Because it's whenever you're in a situation and you're trying to decide what to do, the Course says all you have to do is say, what do I want? And he says, that question will tell you what to do in the next instant in that situation. I'm trying to figure out what to do with my mother if I go over there. And she says, blah, 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 what do you want? Well, I really want peace when I go over there. All right, give her peace. How do I give her peace? Let her be. She's your mama. She didn't just turn the way she was today. You know what I'm saying? And guess what? She's a person more than a mama. You know, I have to remind myself often, Earl, you're not a daddy. You're not a father. You know what I'm saying? That's one of the roles you play in this dream called the life of Earl Purdy. You're the child of God. You're a person. You're a being. You're not a role. You're not a brother, sister, cousin, secretary, doctor, whatever you do in the world. That is not who you are. That's just what you do. Never forget who you are. You are love. You are the living personification of love. That is all you are. That's all you'll ever be. And that's all you ever deserve. Happy Mother's Day, you mothers.
I've been called a mother lots of times.
Yeah. So I'm going to do the love offering right quick. And while we're doing the love offering,
got this for the mothers in the house if you'd like to take one with you.
As the Course says, vision is nothing but knowing the result before you act. So you have vision if you know the consequences of your action before you take them. So what we want to do is we want to reinforce these ideas that we'd like to see manifested. So if you want to come to a place where your beauty and your power and the fact that you deserve to have a totally fulfilling life, to be supported, while at the same time you're willing to take a look at error thought so that you won't use it anymore, then this is the place to come. The Course in Miracles is phenomenal. If you start to read it, don't freak out when you see lots of things appear to get shaken up in your life really, really fast. Don't get afraid and thinking that things are going wrong because now you're focusing on this new spiritual path and it looks like your life is getting topsy-turvy. That is nothing but things being righted.
It's just things, it's just getting you out of the thing that wasn't the best for you, moving you into what is best for you. So it's natural to go through disorientation and confusion when you start your awakening. It's really a good sign. All right, so right now it seems like things are like, good God Almighty. Well, it means that you're moving to the new reality that you want. That you're asking for, and you just want some support in that. Okay, you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay, yeah, I'm telling you, man, it's like, how can you want change and then not have some change? It's like it's a radical concept. I won't change, but I won't all stay the same, but I want it to change. You know, it's not going to work. I'm sorry, the people who mistreat you, misperceive you, they're going to start leaving. I'm sorry, if you're on a job that you hate and you've just been hanging in there out of a misguided sense of fear and security, if you get laid off, if it seems like that you lose that job, it is for your own best interest. A door is just being opened for you to have something that you deserve. If that relationship went down the tube, you know, that's just opening it up for you to have the kind of divine connection that you deserve right now. Every change that you go through, the ones you've decided to wake up to who you really are, that change is for your own best interest. And so you should see all the changes that you're going through right now as helpful. They don't necessarily feel good. As they may not necessarily feel good. It may not necessarily feel good. But it's helpful. Okay? And the hardest part is the beginning. So I promise you, you're going through the hardest part of the path right now. That's the beginning. It gets easier as you go along. You know why? Because you listen more and you believe you deserve more.
Yes.
And so it starts coming in more. But at the very beginning, that's the hardest, because your old thought system is fighting your new thought system, and you will meet the people in your physical life that represent the doubts that you feel about your new direction. Follow that?
There we go.
Okay. When you get ready to start brand new, go into a different direction, make your life something that it's never been before, you usually have doubts because it's a potential. And so therefore, you will meet your own doubts in the beginning in the form of people and situations and circumstances that seem to oppose the new direction that you're going in, or telling you that you're crazy, or saying that it's weird, or saying, you know, to everything that people don't understand, one of the words we throw out very easily now is cult. You know, anything that is, that's just a quick way to shut down discovery. Just call it all a cult. Then you'll never open your mind up to something new. You know, but the truth is, that's your own doubts. So if you realize you're meeting your own doubts, then you will still invest in your new direction and just forgive those doubts. So silence is the best way to make your move at first, because you know the people in your circle who are most likely to condemn your new beginning. You know, you already know. You know who to call depending on what kind of response you want about what you're going through. We all do. You know, if I want to be condemned, I call Aunt Lulu. If I want to get the person that's going to say, you know, I believe in you, I believe, you know exactly who to call. So you can always kind of like tell where you're coming from by who you talk to. That's how you can sometimes know how sincere you are. You know, by who is it you're talking to about what you want? The person that will support it? Or the person that's going to judge it and condemn it. Well, if you go into the person that you know will judge it and condemn it, that's your way of knowing that you, at some subconscious level, are afraid to have that thing. That's why you're going to where you're not getting the support about it. Right? Mm-hmm. It makes perfect sense. Okay, so the next class is Wednesday, 12 noon. Before you go and connect today, I want you to think in terms of full appreciation. So silently, say this to yourself. I'm here only to be truly helpful. I am here to be only truly helpful. I'm here to represent love who sent me. I'm here to represent love who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do. Because love who sent me will direct me. Love of God who sent me will direct me. I am content to be wherever God wishes. I am content to be wherever love wishes, knowing that God goes there with me, knowing that love goes there with me. I will be healed as I let love teach me to heal. I will be healed as I let God teach me to heal. I will be healed as I let love teach me to heal. I use those two terms interchangeably because that's what God is, love. You're incredible. You are incredible. You are incredible. It's an honor to be in your presence. It's an honor to be in your presence. You are a blessing to everyone who knows you. You are a gift. And you're cute. And I'll see you next time.
Thank you.
God be. Hold God available if you are.